Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12 and 13, the Bible says this: not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Someone say goal. But I press on to hold that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and staring toward what is ahead, I press on. Someone say press on. Towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The New Living Translation says verse number 14 like this: I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Let's pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you please speak through me? Would you allow me, God, to minister spiritual truths of your word? Would you allow your word to fall on good ground this morning? And would you help us to break forth, to break through, to break free, and to trust you with what you want to do? We don't want to be creatures of habit that constantly focus on the past. We want to focus on what lies ahead. We want to follow your word. We want to grow. We want to build, and we want to do your work. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about the importance of forgetting the past. Why is it so important to forget our past? Somebody shout it out. Why is it important to forget our past? Because it'll hold us back. Somebody else. Because it doesn't exist. Amen. Yeah, we have to learn to forgive ourselves. It's in the past. Amen. The reason it is so important to forget the past is we as people sometimes have a way of holding on to the things that have either tripped us up or caused us to stumble in life. If we are people that have never truly learned the value of forgiveness, how many know that before you can forgive, you got to learn the value of forgiving yourself? And I have found that in this life that we live in, there are a lot of people that they don't forgive themselves. And as a result, they live a life through a specific lens that doesn't cause them to live free or to live with vision. There are even some people, because of what they did in the past, they hold you suspect because of what they did. Are you hearing me this morning? Right? And that is in some senses, reckless and even horrible way to live. But this morning, I need you to understand something, that the God that you serve died on the cross, and he blots out your sins, and he doesn't think about them when you repent and you give him your heart. Are you hearing me this morning? Whether it be our past hurts, our failures, wounds, maybe there are things that we have done we're not happy with, those things all have a tendency to hold on to us and sink us down and keep us from moving forward. But the one thing I want you to remember this morning, if you remember anything from this message, you don't have to hold on to your past. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Isaiah 43, 25 is one that really, really does something to my soul. It says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Listen, the God that you serve is a God of grace, mercy. He's a judge, but he is a graceful judge that knows how to display and give out mercy when our hearts are repented towards him this morning. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean to be in Christ Jesus? When we are in Christ Jesus, we have accepted and acknowledged him as Lord, and we make him Lord over our life. See, we can acknowledge the Lord as Lord, but our lifestyle can live far from him. So to be in Christ is not only to acknowledge that he is Lord, but to put him in a place within our lives where we attempt to live out whatever it is that he has proclaimed for us to live out on his word. We don't have to live in the past. This is why the apostle said, the one thing that I do is I focus all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And if there was anybody that brings substance to this scripture, is the apostle Paul. When we look at the study of his life, this man was a murderer. This man used to condemn Christians for trying to live out their purpose. But then God knocked them off a high horse, literally. God spoke to him and asked him, we talked about it last week, why do you kick against the goads? In other words, why do you kick against the purpose for your life? He said, who are you? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And then he gives him a mission. He gives him a vision and he says, I have called you to preach the good news. So if there was anybody that knew what it felt like to have to focus all their energies on forgetting the... Do you remember what that was like the first 3 years of his ministry? Because when we read his life, we read it like what? Like if it all just happened and he just started preaching. No, the Bible tells us that when he started preaching, that people were afraid of him. That people didn't want to talk to him. They used to say, he's not the man that used to... Maybe he's tricking us. So what did God do? God took him through a process. Someone say process. I got good news and I got bad news. Which one do you want first? I'll give you the bad news. The bad news is people are people and they're not always merciful and they might hold you in jail in their minds because of what you did in the past. That is the truth. Right? The truth is that people may not forget what we've done. That's the bad news. The good news is that we serve a God that forgives us and has the ability to change hearts. Are you hearing me this morning? One of my greatest joys of having the men's home open is having men come into the home and say things like, no one wants anything to do with me. My family gave up on me. And then we begin to teach them about prayer. We begin to teach them about faith. And we begin to teach them about fasting. And then we fast with them. Listen, let's believe God to bring your wife. Let's believe God to restore your marriage. Let's believe God to restore your relationship with your children. And they're like, well, they don't want anything to do with me. But then we pray. And 3 months go in. And they really begin to start praying. And they really begin to start trusting God. And then they say, Pastor, they come in one morning. They have a pep in their step. And I'm like, this guy's happy. Well, why are you so happy? Hey, listen, I talked to my son, and guess what? He's coming to church. He wants to see me again. There's no greater joy than to teaching people that they don't have to live in their past and that we serve a God that is able to restore. We serve a God that is able to put a broken life back together. So the good news is that we serve a God that not only forgives us, but we serve a God that can change hearts. We serve a God that blots out everything that we've done in our past when we live a repented lifestyle. But one of the greatest questions that we believers have to answer, how do we deal with our past? How do we deal with the things that haunt us? Well, the way we have to learn to deal is we have to learn to change our focus. Are you hearing me this morning? And the reason it's important to forget our past is this. How we deal with our past will affect and shape how you approach your future. If we don't learn to change the way we see ourselves, it will be hard to step into our promise. It will be hard to step into the glory of God. And I feel led to share this because I have found there are a lot of people who do not progress or attempt to fulfill their dreams because they feel like what they did will not allow them to. But I want to share with you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been singing that song quite a bit. I'm a new creation. I get up here and I start singing that because I feel that in my heart. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to beat myself up. Who's ever been there? Where we start thinking about our lives, and those of us that are between the ages of 30 and 45, we got to be careful because there's this thing called midlife crisis. We start thinking about all the things we didn't do. We start thinking about all the degrees we don't have. We start looking at other people on Facebook and the cars that they drive, the houses they have. We start looking at, for me as a pastor, I start looking at Facebook and I see all these people with these churches that seem like have no problems. And I'm sitting there like, oh God, kill me now. Are you hearing me? Right? I have a tendency to beat myself up, and I have a tendency to think I'm not good enough. I have a tendency, does this ring a bell with anybody? I have a tendency to start thinking that maybe this isn't worth it. But the other day I was sitting there, and thank God for wives, because I was sitting there and my wife began to tell me, the truth is, honey, listen, we may not be where we want to be. Thank God we're not, but you're not the same man you were last year. God is doing a work within you. And this morning I came to tell you, you may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. And even if you don't feel it, God is still working in your life. The proof is you're here this morning. This is where we got to learn during worship to sing those songs with passion. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop. And then we begin to see changes. Listen, you might not be where you want to be, but you keep pressing. You keep fighting and you keep believing because the best days are ahead of you. Every year around this time, I start talking about the following year. And I want to challenge you to already start thinking of 2019. Because there are some, the beginning half of 2018 has been rough. But if you're not careful and you learn to focus on the previous 6 months, you will miss out on the final five. I think there are 5 months left, right? Or seven. I don't know, somewhere there. Check my math later. Sometimes we're so focused on the here and now, we're blinded to what lies ahead. Are you hearing me? When a woman has a child, you know, God bless, I was about to say baby Red, amen. Kendall and Susan had their child yesterday, amen. But when a woman has a child, right, for 9 months, she carries this child. There's discomfort. Are you hearing me? Even during labor pains. But when they see the promise, the pain goes away. See, some of us got to learn to start thinking, I'm going through something right now, but I'm going through it with a purpose. See, some of you, the reason why you're going through something is because you've been impregnated spiritually, and you're going through some pain right now. There's some discomfort within your life, but what you don't understand is that God is going to birth something within your life. There is going to be a vision that you don't get right now, but in the month of December, something arise is going to come within you, and you're going to see clear vision for your life. You're going to be able to look back and say, in August, I didn't know if I was coming or going. My life was falling apart, but right now I see clearly. I know what God wants me to do. And in 2019, honey, we're going to serve God. We're going to start a Bible study. Honey, we're going to go ahead and preach the gospel. You know what? I'm going to become a children's worker. You know what? I'm going to disciple somebody in that home. You know what? I'm waiting for somebody to say, Pastor Eric, God put the women's home in our heart, and we want to run that home. Are you hearing me? We serve a good God. My prayer is I want you to start thinking of where you could be and where God can take you. I don't want you to focus on your past. I want you to focus on your future. So how do we forget the past? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us three things within Philippians chapter 3. The first thing that you have to do when you feel stuck, when you feel like you ever felt like you're on a spiritual treadmill? I hate running on treadmills. Right? You're running. It's boring. Like, I ain't going nowhere. Some of us are like that spiritually. Like, we're doing everything. And we're so tired, too. We're struggling spiritually. But we're like, my God, Pastor, I've been running. Yeah, you've been running, but you ain't prayed for a week.
Pastor, I'm tired. I don't want to do ministry no more. Oh, you don't want to do ministry? Well, why? Well, when was the last time you read your Bible? Man, Pastor, I haven't read my Bible in 3 weeks. But I've been at church. Can we talk about some things? See, as if I was your spiritual trainer and we were lifting spiritual weights, and if I had to hold you accountable to your diet plan, and instead of over a month, you gained weight instead of lost weight, but you swore to me that you were eating right. Are you hearing me? That you've been lifting weights. The first question I would have is, well, how was your diet? This morning, I want to ask you spiritually, how is your diet? What have you been feeding your mind? What have you been feeding your heart? I hate to tell you, now look, this isn't like a salvation issue for me, but when I was coming up, we didn't listen to worldly music. Now, I'm not saying you can't do that, and I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. I'm not even going to say you're a sin. However, if you're sitting there and you are listening to things that give you vivid pictures in your mind, if you're watching TV and you watch crazy scenes, and then you tell me, Pastor, I'm dealing with lust. I think maybe what we've been watching has something to do with what's constantly playing in our mind. Right? Like there's people that they're what we call hopeless romantics. Let me talk to the, right? They dream about being in love. Right? Listening to all the slow music. Right? Old school songs, right? One last cry before I leave it all behind. I gotta put you out of my mind for the very last time. And all of a sudden, Pastor, there he is, there she is. All I gotta say is don't fall for the fried ice cream, amen. Don't fall for what you've been listening to. Right? There are some people that they're violent. The last thing you need to be listening to if you're violent is gangster rap. I don't care if it's Christian or non-Christian. The last thing you need to be doing. Are you hearing me? Come on, there are some of you, I know who I'm talking to. You look all holy right now. And the ones that don't look like they, somebody gave me a thing. I don't know what I did. James, I always lose it. He gave me a, anyways, right? Hey, where am I going with this? Oh, forgetting the past. Let's get back on track, amen? So the first thing that you need to do when you feel like life has been stuck, oh, you have to change your focus. My point is this, if you're feeding your focus with things that are causing you to do things that are, don't think that you are so strong that if you watch certain things and you listen to certain things and you haven't been reading your Bible, you haven't been studying, you haven't been listening to the Word, that we can handle the spirits. Because there are spiritual things out there, are you hearing me? Right? There is this thing called bondage. Right? The Apostle Paul tells us, we must focus. What did he say? But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what's ahead. New Living Translation says, I focus all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking at what lies ahead. In order to break through, in order to break forth, in order to get unstuck, we must change our focus. There are certain things, listen to me, you have no control over. Therefore, let's stop giving our lives to those things that are not going to change. The past won't change. Instead, let's focus on the one that can change all things. Are you hearing me? What does it mean to focus? The word focus means center of interest. So I ask you this morning, what's your life's focus? Because we can say it's Jesus. We can say it's God and the Holy Spirit. But if we haven't made time to talk to him, I hate to tell you, by definition, if it's not the center of our interest, we're not focused on spiritual things. Focus is a focal point or a degree of clarity. Who's ever been there where man, it's just hard to focus, right? And phones really work a number on our minds. I was reading an article and they were in like
I think it was in psychology, they're actually coming up with a symptom and some sort of a, a diagnose for people that have this ability that they need to look at their phones because they've adopted an addictive habit. I sometimes have it. Come on, somebody. Don't laugh at me because some of you have it too. But I have found that one of the greatest strategies of the devil that he uses to keep people from progressing in life is distraction. Distraction, listen to me, it's the number one enemy of achievement. How many want to achieve some lofty or some great things? Then you need to be careful that you don't feed your distraction. We need to starve our distractions and we need to feed our focus. See, I have found myself in seasons where like I feel like I'm just not going anywhere, where I feel pointless. Maybe you've been there. But for those of us who go there sometimes, what we have to do, we have to learn to train our minds to think differently, right? Because I want to remind you, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and plans to give you a hope and a future. You have to learn to train your mind to focus on what lies ahead. Because if we're going to move in the same direction with God, if we're going to move past our hurts, past our offenses, then we need to starve our distractions and we need to feed our focus. You need to live a lifestyle that supports your ambition. If your ambition is to be a man of God, then you need to live a lifestyle that a man of God would live. If you want to be a woman of God, you got to live a lifestyle, are you hearing me, that a woman of God. If you have a desire to be a leader, you have to act like a leader. You have to talk like a leader. You have to exercise wisdom and live out godly principles. The second thing that the Apostle Paul tells us, if we're going to forget our past, the first thing is he says we have to focus. The second thing he tells us, you got to learn to press on. Someone say press on. He said, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The word press in the Greek means this, to put to flight, to drive away or chase after something and to seek it eagerly. The word press means to pursue in a hostile manner. Have you ever pursued someone or something in a hostile manner? Huh? Married couples, where you at? Oh, no, you ain't talking to me like that. What'd you say? Like you're walking away from a fight and then they say something like, yo, mama, what? Talk about my, come on, somebody. If you're going to forget your past, listen, you're going to have to learn to press on and pursue your future with hostility. What does it mean to pursue something with hostility? In other words, determination. In other words, like I'm going to get back what you took from me. Are you hearing me? See, there is some that your dreams for whatever reason have been put to rest, but this morning I want to talk to your spirit and I want to cause you to dream again about the promise of God for your life, for your family, because God has called you. God specifically designed you to be here during this day, during this hour, and there is someone that is counting on your blessing. Pressing on means that we will have to learn to take a hit and keep on ticking. Right? There are some people, they take a hit and they fold. Right? We call them glass jaws. Some of us spiritually, we have a glass jaw that we get hit and we're like, help. No, we got to learn to take a hit. And if we fall, stay there for a second, but I'm going to get back up. We can't be the Christians that bow down. Are you hearing me? We don't bow down to the devil. We don't bow down to our circumstance. We don't bow down to the lies from the pit of hell. You know, Barbara Cochran, the famous real estate agent from Shark Tank. How many people watch Shark Tank? Come on, somebody. We watch Shark Tank at my house. And Barbara Cochran was being interviewed, and she explained the difference between a salesperson that makes $40,000 versus the salesperson that makes $8 million. They asked her, what's the difference? She said, the single difference is their ability to take and feel the hits. And I was like, wow. She went on to explain, when you take a hit, how long you choose to feel that hit will determine your next step. There are some people, they take a hit and they're gonna get back up. The problem isn't that they're gonna get back up. The problem is they wanna feel the hit for whatever reason. They latch onto the pain like if it was their relative. And they're like, for whatever reason, I like this pain and I want people to feel sorry for me. Do you know what I've been through in life? This is why I'm still standing here. And God says, get rid of guilt. Get rid of, stop with your inferiority complex. Stop with trying to get approval from man. Listen, God didn't call you to latch on to things or be codependent upon your pain. God has called you to be dependent upon him this morning. Some of us, we got to get to a place. You know, one of the greatest things that I think happened to me, and I talk about it all the time because it shifted and changed who I am as a person. One of the greatest things that happened to me was when our building burnt down as a pastor. Now, I could say that now going 2.5 years later. When it happened, I felt like the world was falling apart. But when I look at what God wants to do now, I can literally look on towards my future and say the devil tried to take us out. The devil tried to get us to throw in the towel. But you know what? When I look around, I see quite a few people that were at that building over on 45th and Park. I see a lot of people that are still fighting. And I see people that learned to take a hit. Listen, church, we've taken hits, but we're going to keep pressing and fighting for the glory of God. I was encouraged. They were telling me, do you know the story of Life Center? I said, no. They said their building was arson too. One of the biggest churches in Tacoma. What am I trying to say? You got to learn to take a hit and not bow down, but get back up. Number three, and I'll be coming to a close. The third thing the Apostle Paul said, not only did you have to focus, press on, but he said, press on towards a goal. For the Apostle Paul, he was pressing on towards a goal that was heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul lived, listen to me, with an eternal focus. Listen, we have to learn to live with an eternal focus. Some of us, we live like we're gonna have tomorrow. You don't know if you're gonna have tomorrow. And I say, yes, I said it with attitude. Because hell is a real place and not on my watch. I'm going to preach about hell. I'm going to preach about heaven. I'm not going to preach that, yes, you're just going to go to heaven because you were a good person and you showed up. No, the Bible tells us, listen, we have to protect and fight for our salvation with fear and trembling. What do we got to be afraid of? There's this thing called hell and it's not a good place. The Apostle Paul had an eternal focus. This is why he said, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike my body and make it my slave. So after when I have preached, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. In other words, what he was talking about from beating his body, he was talking about an intense, extreme focus and an understanding that although I am the Apostle Paul, although that I have brought many to the Lord, I, if I'm not careful, can be disqualified. Listen, church, we cannot live aimlessly. And let me debunk a myth real quick. You cannot live on hope alone. Well, I got hope in Jesus. Yes, you have hope in Jesus, but hope is not a strategy. Hope coupled with action is a strategy. And there are some, listen, church, it's time. And some of you are, there's two extremes here. There are some people that if we had a conversation with them, they have absolutely no goal for their life. I asked somebody that the other day. I said, what are your goals? And they said,
Man, I haven't set goals in years. That's one extreme. Let me tell you the other. They have goals. Oh, Pastor, I have this, I have that, I have. The problem is they've set a goal that blocked out Jesus himself. Calendars are so full, they ain't got time for anything else. We got to be somewhere in the middle. And we got to learn to pray. See, listen, I want to challenge you, church. I believe in having relational goals, financial goals, and spiritual goals. You need to have financial goals. How much do you want to make next year? It's possible. Right? What bills do you want to pay off? Let me flip the script. What family could you bless with $500 in a couple months? They're like, wait, I need 500. I'm trying to change the mentality here. You imagine having so much that when God puts it in your heart, bless someone with $200 and you could do it. No, you don't even have to, you don't even want it back. What about relational goals? Right? We start counting our friends. We're like, well, they're my friend, but they're really not my friend. Like, I don't trust them. Right? We're like, well, they're cool with them, but man, I wouldn't trust them with my kid. What about God? I want to make one new friend this year, which is going to cause you to step out of your bubble. Right? Or better yet, let me flip the script one more time. I want to forgive the person that hurt me and I want to become friends with them again. And what about spiritual goals? This time next year, I want to have read the whole New Testament. This time next year, I want to be involved in a ministry. Or this time next year, I want to be ahead of the ministry. Not ahead, but ahead, a department head. Next year, I want to be the youth pastor. Next year, I want to have my own Bible study. Next year, I want to have my 12-step. Next year, I want to have a financial group. Next year, I want to have a broken hearts group. Next year, I want to have a family group, a parenting group. Are you hearing me this morning? A marriage group. Can we dream a little bit? How about this time next year, we're not in this building? How about this time next year, we've prayed and we've asked God and we have our own building next year? I end with this, Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Some of us, it's time, stop looking at your past. Now, let me throw this in. For some, you don't have guilt, you have the opposite. Like you have what's called spiritual amnesia. You want to act like it didn't happen and never took responsibility. So for some, you may have to look back for a second just to be reminded of how great God's grace is. When I struggle and I become proud and arrogant, when I think I deserve something, I go to my prayer closet and I literally do this. And some of us need to do this. If you haven't cried for a while, if God hasn't broke, like when was the last time you cried in the presence of God? Right? When was the last time you just sobbed before the Lord because of his goodness? I get on my face and my wife will tell you, God, remind me where you pulled me from. Remind me what my family was like before we came. Remind me my heart. And then I sit there and God begins to show me how he healed my heart, how he healed my parents' marriage, how he healed my brother, how he healed my family. And he begins to show me who he wants me to be. This morning, as we all stand, the gist of the message, you don't have to live in your past. So the tangible, how do you overcome your past? Focus. You got to press and you have to have a goal. Focus, press on, And you have to have a goal. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning I want to pray for those of you that are